This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. I hope all is well with each and every one of you. And I pray that you each have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And it's a blessing to have you listening today. I don't take my audience for granted, and I praise God for each and every one of you. Well, last time we were together, as we've been studying now for several weeks, the book of 1 Corinthians. We started to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, which has to do with the doctrine of the resurrection. Last time as we began, we saw, first of all, the gospel and the resurrection, as mentioned there in verses 1 through 4. And then we discussed the witnesses of the resurrection in verses 5 through 10. And then we looked at the arguments for the resurrection in verses 11 through 19. So we want to pick up today and look at the fruit of the resurrection. The fruit of the resurrection. We'll be looking at verses 20 to 28. We see here then in verse number 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep." So we see Christ is risen and is the first fruits, that is, because of his resurrection, many more are coming up in time. Amen. Then look at verses 21 to 22. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So by man, that's Adam, came death. Amen. And in Romans chapter number 5, in Romans chapter 5 with me, in verse number 12, the Word of God says this: "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so we see by man, Adam, came death, and by man, Jesus, came the resurrection from the dead. And then we're told in Adam all die, and in Jesus all are made alive. Praise God for that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now let's look at verses 23 to 25. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." So here we see in verses 23 to 25 shows the chronology of the resurrection. Christ first, and then us, who are Christ at his coming, the rapture, which will be discussed in more detail in verses 50 to 55 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then we have the resurrection of Israel. The resurrection of Israel. Amen. And then those at the end, when Christ delivers his kingdom to God. Amen. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 37. In verses 1 through 4, which is a prophetic reference here of the resurrection of the nation of Israel. Now listen to what the Word of God has to say here in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and then skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you into your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So we see here in Ezekiel 37, we have the prophecy of the resurrection of the nation of Israel. And then we have those at the end when Christ delivers up his kingdom. Look at in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. The word of God says, And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books are open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we see then that those were at the end, the great white throne judgment, and when Christ delivers his kingdom to God, the subject of all rule and power to Christ is complete at the end of the millennium. He reigns till he puts all enemies under his feet. First, the devil, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So he'll reign till he puts down all of his enemies under his feet, the devil, and the destruction of death. And the destruction of death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then in Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. My dear listener, this is what awaits you and I, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone that's been born again, blood bought, child of God. This is what we have as we just ahead for us in our future, as we've just read in Revelation 21, verse number 4. Now let's go back to our text and look at verses 26, 27, 28. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And we just saw that, did we not? Verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Amen. So we see then God is accepted so that God will be all in all. All right, let's continue. So that was, we looked at the first resurrection there in verses 20 to 28. Now, in verses 29 to 32, we have considerations favoring the resurrection. Considerations favoring the resurrection. Let's read together verses 29 down to 32. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest, by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. In after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Why baptize for the dead, Paul says. Baptism by immersion in water shows the resurrection of the dead in the walking in newness of life. Why in jeopardy every hour, Paul said. I die daily. The fight with the beast is seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We read this. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired, even of life. And then in 2 Timothy 4:17. 2 Timothy 4:17, the words of God say this: Notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, the word of God says, Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Amen. If there's no resurrection, why am I enduring this? Paul says, Let us eat, drink, and then die. Amen. Let us eat, drink, and then die if there's no resurrection. Why am I enduring all this things, all this persecution and everything I'm going through? Amen. What's the point of it? Amen. And now we want to look at verses 33 and 34. The words of God say this: Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Amen. Paul is saying here, don't be deceived by corrupt communication. In other words, the lies of those who don't believe the truth of the resurrection. Start telling others how to be saved. You're wasting your time talking among yourselves about whether Christ arose. You should be ashamed that there are those who still have not the knowledge of God. Paul tells them, go talk to them. Go talk to them. Amen. Now, as we pick up in verse number 35, and we go through to the end of the chapter, verse 58, we see two questions about the resurrection that Paul talks about. So, we see then in verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul asks two questions about the resurrection. And then what he does in the remainder of the chapter, he answers these two questions. But let's see the two questions. Verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15. But some men will say, How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? So the first question Paul asks is, how are the dead raised up? The second question is, with what body do they come? Paul answers the second question, with what body do they come up first, in verses 36 to 49. And then, in verses 15 to 57, he answers the first question, how are the dead raised up? Amen. And finally, in verse 58, Paul gives the Corinthians an exhortation. So we want to look now at questions about the resurrection. Questions about the resurrection. The second question, with what body do they come? We come up with a different body than we have now. Amen. And Paul gives four examples to illustrate the difference between our bodies now and our bodies in the resurrection. So, first we see the different bodies in nature. Now notice, let's read verses 36 to 38. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which now soweth, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. So the body of the seed that is sown is not the same as the body of the seed that is reaped. When a seed is planted, it is bare grain. That it is, it has no husk or covering. It is bare. When it is planted, it dies. In John chapter 12, verse 24, John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Amen. So then it springs up into a plant. The plant bears grain. The grain comes up with a covering or on a head and comes up in quantity much greater than was sown. Nevertheless, wheat always yields wheat. Corn always yields corn. Barley always yields barley. So forth and so on. Each of these grains different from the other, and it is unique. So our bodies will be different than our bodies are now, having a new covering, our glorified bodies. And our bodies will be unique one from another as they are now. Now looking in verse 39 of 1 Corinthians 15, the Word of God says this: "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds." So we see here, we saw previously the different bodies of grain. Now we want to see the different bodies of creatures. All flesh is not the same flesh. Men, beasts, fish, and birds all have different flesh. What this statement does is it refutes evolution to this day. Hair and hair follicles, fish scales, birds' feathers are so vastly different that they could not have come from the same body through natural processes. They are made differently and will be different in eternity. Our bodies will be similar to our bodies now, not to the bodies of beasts or fish. So there's no such thing as reincarnation. All right, let's look at verse number 40. "There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another." So here Paul talks about the differences, or the different bodies of celestial and terrestrial beings. The bodies of angels are different than the bodies of men, for instance. Angels appear as men in the Bible. Amen. Notice, first of all, in Genesis chapter 19, verse number 1, the words of God say this: "And there came two angels to Sodom and Eden, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." And then in Genesis chapter 19, verse 5, the Word of God says this: "And they called on the Lord and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And these are the perverts outside Lot's door, warning the men who came into his home at night, which were the angels, to come out so they could know them. And I'll leave it at that. Then in Luke 24, verse 4, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Amen. And then in Luke 24, verse 23, the Word of God says, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And there are just so many other scriptures that show angels appear only as men. However, they can appear and disappear. Amen. They can appear and disappear. In Judges 13, verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And then in Judges 13, verses 19 to 21, so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward the heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Amen. So they can ascend up from and descend down to earth. And Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and then descending on it. Amen. We will be like the angels of God in glory. Matthew 22:30 says, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Amen. So we see then what he has done here so far. He's giving us examples to illustrate the difference between our bodies now and our bodies in the resurrection. And he's using illustrations from nature, the different bodies in nature, which we saw the different bodies of grain, the different bodies of creatures, the different bodies of celestial and terrestrial beings. Amen. So, we're just about running out of time. But, as you can see, really, this book of 1 Corinthians really covers, if not all, most of the problems that a church will experience. Amen, in the church age now. And maybe some of you've experienced some of the problems in your churches or know in other churches. But the bottom line is to remember that we have the Word of God to help us to how to solve these problems and overcome sin in the church. And praise God for that. Well, thank you once again for joining me for the pastor's study. May God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.